Welcome to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast, a weekly conversation about mental health, personal development, and all the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information or to find a therapist in your area, visit our website at therapyforblackgirls.com. While I hope you love listening to and learning from the podcast, it is not meant to be a substitute for a relationship with a licensed mental health professional. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me for a special bonus episode of the Therapy for Black Girls podcast. We'll get right into the conversation after a word from our sponsors.
The weather is getting a little warmer, which can only mean one thing. We are just around the corner from another busy and joy-filled celebration season. You know, weddings, graduations, Mother's and Father's Day. Yep, it's that time again. And just in time to help you save for all the outfits and gifts you'll need is the Macy's Friends and Family Sale, the one you wait for. Get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. Plus, free shipping on anything over $25. April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in-store.
Buying your first car can make you feel like a superstar as it's a big purchase, but it can take time to get there. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it. Nowadays, a lot of these big companies pretend to care about our communities and issues with nothing more than lip service. State Farm is the opposite. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help educate in financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something they care deeply about. They want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't mean authenticity, that it takes a good neighbor to sponsor programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, and to fund programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth that to date participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're ready for an epic family vacation, there's no better place than sunny Orlando. Exciting thrills, never-ending food festivals, fresh new dining experiences, outdoor adventures in Florida's natural springs, and so much more. Orlando has it all. And Visit Orlando's vacation planners can help you plan the perfect trip. In Orlando, anything is possible, if you can imagine it. And that's what makes Orlando unbelievably real. Plan your escape today and save at visitorlando.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Last week marked the series finale of This Is Us. After 6 seasons, we've said goodbye to the Pearsons. Y'all know This Is Us has been a TBG favorite, so we had to have one last convo to talk through our thoughts about this season and the finale.
Joining me again this week is Beverly Andre. Beverly is a licensed marriage and family therapist, relationship coach, and the founder of Be Heart Counseling Services. She and I chatted about our expectations for this season, some of our favorite Beth and Randall moments, and the absolute beauty of the train episode. If you have thoughts you'd like to share about the season, please share them with us on social media using the hashtag TBGInSession, or join us over in the Sister Circle to continue the conversation. You can join us at community.therapyforblackgirls.com. Here's our conversation. Thank you so much for being back with us today, Beverly.
Thank you for inviting me. I think I am now able to talk about my grief.
Right? So it feels like we could not let This Is Us go without a proper goodbye. They've given us plenty of warning. This is the last season. It's coming. We know it's going to be difficult. I feel like they tried to prepare us. And I feel like with all of that, it still was just very difficult.
I was crying like I had a loved one die. It was wild. It was wild. Yeah.
So what do you think? Because I've seen lots of people like just have very strong connections to the show, right? And, you know, some people, it's funny, people have talked about like not watching it, but just seeing folks talk on the timeline every week about crying. And so they don't even know what it's about, but they know people have been reacting strongly. So what do you think for you was like the strong connection to This Is Us and why it has been so difficult for the season to wrap up and the show to wrap up?
This Is Us felt effortless. It felt like you went to dinner and then you overheard a couple talking about their family, or, you know, it just felt like it was a part of my life. Like it wasn't anything that felt like it was out of touch. I felt that anybody who watched the show, that it touched on some aspect of their life at some point, whether you had your kids are growing up and you're trying to figure out how do I navigate these conversations with my kids, whether or not you're a parent who has adopted a child, maybe adopted a child of a different ethnicity, racial background, talking to your kids about relationships, what to look out for in a partner. I literally feel like anybody who's anybody can watch this show, no matter socioeconomic status, no matter racial ethnic background. It literally could be for everybody. And I think that's what made the difference. It wasn't like, yeah, this is a Black show, Black culture all the way. I mean, some people will say This Is Us is a because, you know, Beth and Randall, but right. It literally felt like for everyone. And I think that's a testament to Dan Fogelman in his writer's room. Like his writer's room literally had everybody under the sun. You know what I mean? And I think when you are intentional about who you have on your staff writing these shows, you're able to capture as much as a person's experience as possible because all perspectives are represented.
Yeah, I like the idea of the word you use, effortless, because it definitely felt like nothing was really heavy-handed ever in the show, right? And so it just feels like they were able to strike such a perfect chord for all of the different storylines. And like you mentioned, like so many different themes. I mean, we've covered it, you know, at least twice here on the podcast, right? Like just so many beautiful themes they pulled out, and even the caregiver theme, right? You know, right. So I think in later seasons, and, you know, of course they teased it in earlier seasons, but definitely this season, we've seen a lot about what it looks like to be a caregiver and what that looks like between siblings and even for the person being cared for. So I just really feel like no stone was unturned. And you're right. I think the diversity in the writer's room really added to what we all fell in love with about This Is Us.
Like you can see the intentionality, like in the details, from the costumes to like Mandy Moore, when yes. You know, the veins in her hands, the care that goes into what's being said and how it's being said, or let this be a silent moment. It was just so intentional from start to finish. I remember hearing that he had that in mind, like yes. From the beginning. With the last episode, a lot of those scenes were recorded like early on in the series. So it's just like, when you know how things are going to finish, it's like you can be very intentional, like, okay, this is my North Star. This is how it's going to end. Now, how do we get there? In a very careful and strategic way. And I saw it.
Yeah, they did that. They did it.
They did that. Yes, they did.
So what were your expectations coming into this last season? Because again, you know, I think it's very difficult, in some ways more difficult, in some ways easier, like when you know a series is wrapping up, because we don't always know, right? Like sometimes a series just doesn't get renewed and we don't have any like closure for the characters. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we did, right? Like he, like you mentioned, always knew it was going to be 6 seasons. They knew how it was going to end from the beginning. So they were able to craft the narrative going toward that way. But even though we knew that, what expectations did you come into this last season with?
I was honestly in denial. Like, this series started when I was in grad school to be a therapist. 2016, it was like going into my senior year, and I moved into my apartment by myself because my roommate had left. And so I would literally, as like a religious routine, every Tuesday, I knew I was watching This Is Us. Like, that was the one time I made sure I could just not focus on school and just like lose myself into this and Queen Sugar as well. That was Wednesdays. And so it was kind of like, wow, I didn't really realize it's been that long since the series has been going. And I just never thought that it was going to end so quickly. I thought that this was going to be like, you know, Grey's Anatomy. God, I love Grey's Anatomy. Like, I'm going to grow up with these characters because there's so many different pathways that it can take. So I was in denial. And I think that there's been so many letdowns with awesome series, and you said the finale, and it's just like, what? I invested my time and y'all just left me like Game of Thrones. So I'm just like, not to say I was skeptic, but I was really curious, like, how are we going to end? And I think that there was no way for me to have conceptualized this is how this season was going to go. Mm-hmm. There was no way. Mm-hmm. If I had a thought, it would have been completely opposite of what actually happened.
Yeah. So what were you surprised about? Because it sometimes feels hard for me to remember, like, what happened what season, right? And it did feel like, for some reason, this season felt longer, but it also could have been because I was anxious about, like, the last one, and so I didn't want it to end. But it definitely felt like, in some ways, this season was quieter. I didn't feel like there was like as much action in a lot of ways like that we've seen in some of the previous seasons, but clearly very impactful. We definitely will get into like the train ride, which is the penultimate before the series finale. But I think I was most shocked by the situation with Toby and Kate. And so I feel like they've teased that in previous seasons. And when we saw that preview of Little Jack early on, like being grown up and with his own wife and child, but we didn't quite know like what surrounded that. And then of course we saw what that was this season. But I think that was the thing that I was most shocked about this season, was like the relationship between Kate and Toby ending up the way that it did.
Yeah, I think Kate and Toby, like, I think with Beth and Randall, they had kind of teased, I think last season, that, oh, did they break up? Because it was kind of like weird, but then they said, oh, they're together. And I think some folks had some expectancy that that was going to be the same thing. But it was like, oh no, like they actually broke up, and oh no, like she remarried with Philip, and oh no, he found somebody else. So it wasn't a surprise to me necessarily, but I didn't think that they were going to actually get divorced. I didn't think so. But I appreciated the storyline, because what you see on mainstream media about divorce, it is nasty, it's combative, and you see like the couple sitting across from each other at the table, as opposed to here are all the little things in the daily lives of couples that can lead to the dissolution of the marriage, right? When they had the San Diego trip and how they're this on two opposite pages, making assumptions about what the other person is saying, not communicating, like that becomes a pattern of behavior. And then when that becomes a pattern of behavior, it's so easy to feel like your partner is your adversary instead of your ally. And I think that they got caught up in that pattern, and it just became a way of life for them. It became how they started to communicate in their marriage. And I like how it was the little things, because people get so caught up in, oh, it was it infidelity or was it anything like that? I'm like, no, there's people who actually do in their marriages because they are no longer in sync with each other. They are no longer growing and accepting and loving that the person that they're with, or someone is not showing up fully in their relationship because they may not feel like they have the space to do so. So while I wasn't surprised that they got divorced necessarily, I was surprised at how they showed it. Mm-hmm. And even when they had the table scene, and then after they came down and they just had that laugh because they played Whitney. It was Whitney. Called that Rest in Peace, Nip, because that's right. My girl. They're in the elevator. And then we think that's going to be the moment where like, okay, they're good. They go their opposite sides. But like they come back and then she's like, well, you know what? It's going to all make sense later. We're going to be good. And he's like, no, it's never. You know, like it captures the reality of some people feel like there is no silver lining when it comes to the end of a marriage. But then you see later on that they are able to create that friendship. They are able, you know, years removed to co-parent in a healthy way. So that surprised me as opposed to why they ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I'm listening to you talk, also very aware that they showed them doing couples therapy, right? And so speaking to the point that we often hear about couples waiting, individuals too, but couples in particular waiting way too long before they like start therapy, right? It isn't always this like somebody cheated, something big happened. A lot of times it is like these little resentments that have never gone addressed. And then we can't have a conversation about like anything without some of that other stuff now filtering our decision making, and we're angry, but we're not really angry about the thing that we're talking about, right? So I thought that that was interesting too, that they did show them doing couples therapy, even though clearly it wasn't effective in terms of keeping their marriage together. But I do think they were probably able to get a lot more on the table in those sessions than they had been by themselves.
That was real, because it does take couples 6 to 7 years before they actually, if they decide to even seek help, it takes about that long into a relationship. And that depiction of couples therapy, I loved it. I was like, ooh, the barbs, the jabs, it can get intense, because these are stored up conversations that have not been happening in the past 6-7 years. Like, this is going to sound crazy, but I had a couple and she was just like, I don't understand why all this is coming out now. And I had said, sis, let me tell you something. You know, when you get your hair braided, right? And you take out your braids and all your hair is just coming out, but it's not coming out little by little. It's a whole bunch coming out, because every single day our hair sheds, but you have it in this style that's preventing it from shedding. So now that you're taking your braids out, it seems like a lot, but it's something that would have been came out had it been done over a period of time. And she was just like, Bev, you're crazy, because I've never heard that metaphor before, but it makes so much sense. I'm just like, that's what it is. Now, you may not have had the language. You may not have realized what was happening or what was going on for you to be even able to relay it. Y'all may not have felt like y'all had enough emotional intimacy to talk this out. You may not have had the strategy, like the skill set, to figure out how to navigate this conversation without it blowing up, and then you go your way, I go my way. There's all different reasons, but at the end of the day, you're here. And I think that Toby at one point was desperate. You saw him like, Kate, please, let's just make this work. And that happens.
Yeah, she was already checked out, it seemed, by then.
This sis was gone. She was gone. And I think that there were several moments, had they been able to seek professional help or have conversations about it before, they would have still been married, in my opinion. So it is what it is, but I can appreciate that they needed to go through that divorce, because I feel like there's so many people who may not see divorce as a failure anymore. As opposed to what we all believe, like, oh, the marriage ended, it's a failure. That there's still life, there's still relationships that can be developed on the other side of it. It's not a divorce. It just wasn't meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have talked a little bit about Beth and Randall, and I know when you've been on the podcast before talking about This Is Us, we, you know, both have a love affair with Beth and Randall, because I feel like they just had such a cool dynamic, and it was really cool to see the way they were shown on camera. So I also feel like, though, This Is Us did one of the best jobs of showing just like Black life, like regular, just everyday life. And so I'd love to hear maybe some of your favorite scenes from Beth and Randall, or some of the things that you remember most about like their time on This Is Us.
My favorite scenes have to be the worst case scenario moments. For me, that's a testament of emotional security. Let's talk about the worst things that can happen with either ourselves or within our family. Let's put it out on the table. And a lot of times, like, who actively leans into the things that are uncomfortable or not desirable? You know what I mean? I love their friendship, the way that they're able to just talk, or they know each other. I think sometimes Randall feels like Beth doesn't know as much or doesn't catch things. I'm like, man, what are you talking about? She been knew Deja was pregnant. Like, she knows all the things. I think sometimes he still gets surprised by his partner, which I think is lovely too, because yes, you may know your partner, but you will not always know the whole person. There's still space for, you know, surprise and mystery. And so I think just seeing a regular schmegler Black couple who like to hang with each other, who have an awesome friendship, who are into each other, sexual intimacy, like they love each other, they like each other. And even during the hard things, like they know what each other needs. She's like, oh, Philip, Sophie, we need to go because this was going to happen. This was going to happen. This was going to happen. We need to give them space. Cause I know what my husband's going to go do. That's emotional intelligence right there. You know what your partner needs. I love them. I love them because we don't have enough depiction of Black couples on the screen that's not toxic, that's not overly dramatic, or, you know, I like regular Black love. Okay. that's what I like. And I love the fact that it was just them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And adding to your point around like the emotional intelligence, you know, I mean, we definitely saw Randall in therapy, I think at least a couple of times throughout the show. I don't know that we ever saw Beth talking to anyone, but it's clear that they like are versed in like emotions and like being able to support each other in what they each need in any given moment. I personally love the episode that we talked about before where he went home to Louisiana. Like that, I think is still one of my favorite episodes. But I also really loved all of the episodes where we got to see more of Beth's backstory. So her love with dancing and like her dynamic with her family, I thought were also just really beautiful. So I'm still keeping my fingers crossed. I know Dan Fogelman has said there won't be any spinoffs, or maybe not, but I think they're not necessarily planning any spinoffs. But if there were one, that's the one I would want to see, is a spinoff with Beth and Randall and their family, because I just feel like there's just so much more to kind of explore. You know, they kind of tease he may be looking at like a presidential run at the end of the series. And so, you know, I would love not necessarily like a White House kind of drama, not that, but like just, you know, again, keeping with the regular life theme and just seeing all the years that we didn't get to see on the show. Like, what did the girls, what were they like growing up, and how are they growing into being grandparents? Like all of those kinds of things.
Little William. I know that we're going to get into that, but I just think about the theme of legacy. If nothing else surprising happened, I think the Miguel episode was the one that surprised me. It took me out. I felt like I had to go confess my sins for how I thought about this man. I'm a daughter of immigrants, and I'm thinking about just the process of him coming from Puerto Rico and, you know, assimilating into society and working through the prejudice and all of that. But just the idea of seeing his parents interact, seeing his mother take care of his sister, and then how that enabled him to take care of Rebecca with honor. Mm-hmm. Like, people talk about Beth and Jack, and I think about how Rebecca was to Jack what Miguel was to Rebecca. Like, she got to flourish and be this person because Miguel was able to hold her down in all aspects. And I think she knew that because she was just like, you didn't get the best version of me. Jack did. And I think the version that she was fueled because of Miguel's intentionality of taking care of her. And then just seeing how the kids were watching him take care of their mother. Like, his hip was messed up. He was hurting, but he was still getting up. So when I just think about the legacy from this show of how it captures love, how it captures intentionality, showing up, for family and for your romantic partner. That was everything. So that's how when we get to that last episode, I felt like I was able to exhale. Mm. Because I'm like, the characters have all said and did everything that they needed to do with Rebecca before the funeral. So, you know, not hearing what they were saying was of no consequence to me. But losing a parent and you're standing up to talk about said parent right in front of you in a casket, you're not remembering what you...
Right.
You have no idea what the heck you just said unless you wrote it down beforehand. So I think everything that needed to be said, how they conducted themselves throughout this entire series was a testament to love, family, intentionality, and showing up. Like, that last episode, I exhaled. I said, you know what? Job well done.
Like you were at the funeral yourself. Job well done, servant.
It is well with my soul.
More from my conversation with Beverly after the break. Supporting brands that support larger causes like STEM education for girls and resources for HBCUs is important to me. Macy's has been a longtime supporter of these causes and so many more, including efforts to shop sustainably. They carry pieces from brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. For more information about these initiatives, or to show your support, donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. Growing up watching media legends like Gwen Ifill and Robin Roberts always gave me the security that stories that matter to me would be told. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. Nowadays, a lot of these big companies pretend to care about our communities and issues with nothing more than lip service. State Farm is the opposite. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help educate in financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something they care deeply about. They want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't mean authenticity, that it takes a good neighbor to sponsor programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, and to fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth that to date participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Many people feel anxious when they think about finances. It can feel overwhelming, stressful, and even hopeless, especially when you're first starting out and don't know what to do. But when you have a solid financial plan in place, this anxiety turns into confidence. You can regain a sense of control over your life and improve your self-esteem. How do you build financial confidence? Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it. It's never too early to plan for your next trip. And if you're looking for a new place to visit, consider Provincetown. If you like glamour, dining, dancing, entertainment, hiking, biking, beaches, and an overall unique experience, You will find it all in Provincetown. The city prides itself on being welcoming to everyone and embracing diversity. And as the birthplace of modern American theater, P-Town is an abundance of entertainment, drag, comedy, live bands, burlesque, traditional theater, and much more. You can tour the dunes, blaze the bike trails, and walk the beaches of the National Seashore. And don't forget to catch a wave on a whale watch. For more info and to get started planning your visit, go to ptowntourism.com, the official guide to Provincetown. That's ptowntourism.com. Yeah, so I also love the Miguel episode. I think, why they saved it the way that they did. Because, you know, it really does feel like throughout the way the series developed, we did not know a lot about Miguel. Like, I don't remember before the Miguel episode ever even knowing how they got together. Had they shared that before?
No. Everybody assumed that he swooped in and was just like, what's up? I was benching you out, right?
See, I don't think I assumed that. I think I assumed that it was like a more earnest kind of a thing. But we didn't know, right? Which all left us kind of making up our own stories about like what was going on with Miguel.
It was just like, how could you do that to Rebecca? You know, Rebecca is grieving. She has those three kids to raise. You know, she's in a bad place. You know, you're evil. Because ain't nobody going to blame the grieving widow.
Right,
like you
took
advantage of her. And then mind you, she was the one who was like, what's up, Miguel? Like, kissed him first, made the moves, and was so I'm just like,
The
only way to end this season with people not hitting Miguel was Rebecca initiating things first.
Right. So they gave us the full story. And, you know, it was just so beautiful, I think, to have so much more of his story, to find out more about who he was. Because, again, to your point, I do think he very much was like he was a very foreground character, but his story was in the background. Right. So you saw him in a lot of the episodes, even this season. But you still didn't know a lot about him besides like him taking care of Rebecca and that he was Jack's best friend when they were younger. So I thought it was beautiful the way that they shared that. I just wish we had gotten that earlier so that, you know, we could have had a better appreciation of who Miguel was and like his history and, you know, the things that led him to be who he was.
They did that on purpose.
Yeah, of course they did. Of course they did.
And I'm just like, okay, y'all pulled the okie doke on us. And you know what? I like the fact that they didn't, because I also think that that challenged you in your beliefs. Stop making assumptions about people. Unless you know the thing, stop assuming, because there's so many layers to people, just like who we work with, who we are around. We don't know what they've been through. We only know who we see in front of us. And they are not the totality of what we see.
Mm-hmm.
They are not the totality of what we see, and they deserve additional consideration versus like, you're just an accessory to that person, because right, that's what he was. That's Rebecca's second husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I do feel like even when they showed him getting much older and both of them getting much older and him like taking such good care of her, I think the kids, of course, loved Miguel, but I think it really wasn't until they saw the way that he was taking care of her that they reached an even deeper appreciation for like who he was and how he had been like so important in her life.
I feel like they tolerated him.
Really?
First of all, Kevin did not like that man.
No, Kevin definitely did not. But I definitely feel like Randall and Kate had a different, like a more loving relationship with him.
Kevin didn't like that man. I feel like the other kids, it's like, okay, it's Miguel. They tolerated him. And I say that to say, when it came to Rebecca and her care and different things like that, you saw Randall was like, move. You're a non-factor.
Got it.
We tolerate you. You cool people. Da, 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 da. When it comes to serious things, like, And it was literally up to Rebecca to be like, no, that's my husband. He's going to make the decisions. He's going to be the person who's going to, you know, do all the things. And if he's not here to make it, then it'll be Kate. But what you call him wasn't respecting that. And I think probably because of his anxiety, he wanted to know all of the things and make all the decisions. But I think that Miguel definitely tried to have a relationship with them more than just, I'm your mother's husband. But I think it was like, okay, you're here. We're cool. But when it comes to the serious things, you have no say, no input.
That's a good point. You're right. I completely agree with that now that you point that out. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to make sure we have time to get into this train episode because it was such a big one. So it was not the final episode. It was the episode before the very last one. But I feel like in a lot of ways, it was the last one, right? So it was when we see Rebecca at the end of the train episode is when she actually passes, right? But the whole episode is like characterized as this train ride between like life and death, basically. And she's on the train going through the different cars, confronting and having these last words with everybody who has been impactful throughout her life, which I thought was such a beautiful metaphor. And like, it was so cool to see it on screen because I feel like you could really see it. Right. Like you could see her going from car to car and them saying like, OK, it's time. We got to move on to the next one. I just thought that it was so beautiful. I don't know that I've seen death captured in that way on screen before.
I ain't ever. And I'm sitting here getting emotional just thinking about that episode.
I see like, you.
Like, because I honestly, I really, that is a gift. To leave this world in that way is a gift. To have lived a long life, to be surrounded by your family, to metaphorically say goodbye to everyone, or to have that conscious thought about, wow, like my life in review, that is a gift. And that episode came at a time, I think, because my birthday was last week. And so since that episode, I've been really thinking about like life and my life in review so far. And I think that's what's amazing about that episode is because you literally have the ability to stop and just think and reflect who would be on my train. Mm-hmm. Who are the people that impact me or who have impacted me? How fast would I be moving through the carts? You know what I mean? Like, it felt so measured the way that she was just walking through and then like from the doctor and still the nuggets that they're giving, like, you know what? You did a good job. Like we did this together. I think William has said that, like, you know what? We did okay.
So that's what broke me down when William was the guide. Right. So when it was clear that like he was going to be the one like ushering her through these cars, that's when I lost it because I just thought that that was so beautiful because it felt like it was really important. Right. Like I feel like they had such a cool relationship that wasn't always very like loud, but I think in a lot of ways was very important for the both of them. I just thought that that was beautiful that he was her guide on this train
because he's been down that path, mm-hmm. you know, and I know that Jack obviously died before William, but I feel that she needed someone to walk with her, to lead her back to him, mm. you know, and it couldn't have been Miguel. That would have been awkward. Like someone that she had such a deep relationship because he was a co-parent. Mm-hmm. You know? He co-parented as well. I think about the episode when they went to New York and she was telling them about like, you know, I always wanted to go to the Met to look at the painting because this painting really stuck out to her. And, you know, I wanted to take this train ride with my dad in that episode where she couldn't remember Caboose. And then to know that that was where she was going and she finally remembered it. And then Kate was there and her hearing the voices of her kids listening to, oh my gosh, Beth, whoa, Beth. Beth. This woman was just like, I was literally trying to be just like you.
Yeah.
You can see it. You can see it, how she shows up with Randall and the girls. You can see it. You never really saw Beth and Rebecca have such an intimate conversation, even though she wasn't saying anything. Rebecca wasn't saying anything. She was just listening. That's the most intimate I've ever heard Beth talk to Rebecca. And I just felt like, this woman has no idea what an example she is to other people. Meanwhile, the whole time she's doubting her ability as a mom, doubting her ability as a wife, second guessing how she shows up, feeling like she's messing up with Kate left and right, mm-hmm. not knowing that you are literally a gold standard for someone else, for another mother.
Right.
And I think that was just amazing because I think that is very true mm-hmm. for women. that you look at a woman and you're like, wow, she is just everything, all that and some. And in her mind, she's just like thinking about all the things that she's not doing well. Yes. I think that's why it's so important to, especially from woman to woman, to share, oh girl, I love that about you. Or, oh, look how you are. I just love that outfit. Because sometimes we don't see it.
Yeah. We don't see it for ourselves.
We don't think for ourselves. Other people see it, but we're just seeing all the reasons why we're not. Mm-hmm. You know, I just love the fact that they had that moment. And so waiting for Kate, listen, if Kate didn't get off that plane, it was the run across the yard for me.
Yeah.
The run across the yard, the hand grip when she met Jack and then she gripped Randall's hand at the same time. And I was like, oh, Jesus, my heart.
It was so much. It was such a moving episode. It was so moving. More from my conversation with Beverly after the break. Supporting brands that support larger causes like STEM education for girls and resources for HBCUs is important to me. Macy's has been a longtime supporter of these causes and so many more, including efforts to shop sustainably. They carry pieces from brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. For more information about these initiatives or to show your support, donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. Nowadays, a lot of these big companies pretend to care about our communities and issues with nothing more than lip service. State Farm is the opposite. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help educate in financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something they care deeply about. They want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't mean authenticity, that it takes a good neighbor to sponsor programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, and to fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth that to date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Many people feel anxious when they think about finances. It can feel overwhelming, stressful, and even hopeless, especially when you're first starting out and don't know what to do. But when you have a solid financial plan in place, this anxiety turns into confidence. You can regain a sense of control over your life and improve your self-esteem. How do you build financial confidence? Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it.
It's never too early to plan for your next trip. And if you're looking for a new place to visit, consider Provincetown. If you like glamour, dining, dancing, entertainment, hiking, biking, beaches, and an overall unique experience, you will find it all in Provincetown. The city prides itself on being welcoming to everyone and embracing diversity. And as the birthplace of modern American theater, P-Town is an abundance of entertainment, drag, comedy, live bands, burlesque, traditional theater, and much more. You can tour the dunes, blaze the bike trails, and walk the beaches of the National Seashore. And don't forget to catch a wave on a whale watch. For more info and to get started planning your visit, go to ptowntourism.com, the official guide to Provincetown. That's ptowntourism.com.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky, smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
And I think a lot of people coming off of that episode and then looking at the final episode, it felt like, well, we got all this last week and this felt so quiet. And I agree, but I feel like it would have been hard. There was no way they could have matched the energy of the train episode with the final episode. And so hearing them talk about how they wanted it to just be like a regular day, right? Like one of those days that you maybe remember later, but it's just like a quiet day. And when it's happening, it doesn't feel like it's a lot, but like you look back in your memory and you realize like, oh, that was a very important day. And like the kids still have memories and how the things that happened on what looked like a regular day shaped who they became, right? So I get why they felt that way, but I do think that there wasn't a way to also match the energy of the train episode. Like, I don't think they had a choice but to make it more quiet.
Right. Some people were like, I wish the train episode was the last episode. And I was just like, it wouldn't feel right. This show has never felt like I'm going to leave you emotionally dysregulated and bounce.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I think had that happened, that's what it would have been like.
Yeah, you know, we'd have still been over here crying about the
hero. Still been over here crying. You know? And then it's just like, we got to have closure.
Yeah.
Like Dan said, get all your feelings out. And then the day after the funeral, life continues on.
Yeah.
What is the precedent? And even when Kate talked about, I feel like we're going to drift apart. How many families don't have that conversation when that anchor person is gone? Whether it's the matriarch, the patriarch in the family, they are gone. And it's like, well, who else is going to organize the cookout? Where are we going to do Christmas? Those traditions that the family connects with, that it's usually one person or one family that organizes it. And so when she said that, I was just like, these are the conversations that people need to be having post, pre and post the passing of a loved one. Mm-hmm. You know, what if you drift? Well, you know what? That may happen, but we're going to drift with you. Yeah. We're going to follow you. We're going to be intentional about connecting. And I appreciated that being the ending, because now they are in control of how their family move forward. Their parents are gone. They did all that they could. And now what are we going to do with what they taught us? Thanksgiving. Where are we doing Thanksgiving? We're going to come back to the cabin, right? Yep. And that's why I love the fact that they ended the show the way that they ended. Yeah. Because life continues. The show won't. But life will continue.
It sounds like Dan did a lot of interviews leading up to this last episode. And, you know, it sounds like that was his intention. And I also think he had recently lost his mother, I think, at some point during one of the seasons. So I think that this...
He started writing the show after his mother passed.
So I'm sure that that was also a part of the framing, right? And, you know, thinking about like what that was like for him and his family. But I agree with you. I think a lot of what every season and a lot of the episodes of This Is Us really just gave us opportunities to have these conversations. And I realized, right, like how many conversations don't we have, but then we have an on-screen depiction of what happens when we don't, right? Or what can happen if we do. So I thought that was one of the beautiful gifts of many that they offered us from This Is Us.
Yeah, the show that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts about like the progression we saw between the big three and of the big three throughout the seasons and wrapping up with the finale? What kinds of growth and things did you see from the big three?
I think number one thing, allow the person who is to be. Like, I don't think until later on that they didn't really allow each other to be who they were in present time. Reno still had a thought about his siblings being teenagers, irresponsible, not know what they're doing, not taking initiative, him stepping up, right? Kev definitely saw Randall as, you are their favorite son, or you're the one who feels like you have to do everything and I'm the mess up, right? Kate, I'm not qualified to say anything. My brother's an actor. This guy's a financial guy. Now he's in the government, all of that, right? I think they held on to these ideas of what they knew of each other instead of recognizing who they were in that moment and being accepted for who they were. And I think once they did that, they were able to tap into each other's strengths. Mm. They were able to identify the strengths versus, well, you've always been this way. And I think, especially in sibling groups, that it's so easy to be like, you know what? My brother has always been this person. Yeah, my sister always gonna be like this. And when you say always, you no longer have grace for that person. And not to say that you have to have an opinion about their growth, the speed of growth or anything like that, but allow them to be who they are today versus pit them against who they were. And I think that was the biggest growth, because once they did that, you saw Kate being able to say, hey, you guys aren't seeing mom. You're still thinking about mom way back when, talking about, oh, she was magic. She's still here. Mm-hmm. She was magic. She's still giving you guys these lessons. You know, she may be in a different time frame in her mind, but then she's able to talk to Sophie and how that affected Sophie. You know, now considering being with Kevin, that was different. The gift of Rebecca singing that song. You want to talk about emotional?
I had almost forgotten about that. They gave us so much this season. I had forgotten.
You're right.
The way singing has been a crucial element in both Rebecca's life and Kate's life. And then knowing that she was able to give that gift. First of all, I love the theme song. So when they put the lyrics, it's on my iTunes. It's on my iTunes. Because that right there, Mandy Moore did that. So the way that people see each other can either place limits or it can expand possibilities. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with the siblings.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I loved by the end how they were each able to kind of be their own people, right? And I think we saw that a lot in the conversations around caretaking, you know, because I think a lot of who they were as a child then impacted what they felt like they need to do as a caretaker, right? So Kevin feeling like he was the mess up as a kid and now feeling like he wanted to like make up for some of that in caretaking for mom. But then Randall feeling like, but you actually haven't been responsible. So why would we let you be the one who makes these decisions, right? And it feels like Kate was in the background a lot. And so I think for Rebecca to choose her to be the one like, hey, if Miguel is not able, you are going to be the one who makes these decisions. I think that that shook a lot up for the sibling dynamic.
It shook the table. At the end of the day, Rebecca knows her children. Right. She knows. First of all, Randall, you've been doing too much. You don't need to be so sacrificial. I think Toby provided the best explanation as to why Rebecca chose her. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you really don't see yourself. Yeah. You really don't see how empathetic you are, how you see everything, how you see people, and how you meet them where they are. When you have somebody that speaks life into you, your potential of what you believe you can be can just expand so much. Now, this girl is out here on the plane, flying to London, building schools for the visually impaired. Like, because all it took was her to believe what everybody else was telling her.
Yeah.
Your mom saw it. Your dad saw it. I see it. Do you see it? Do you believe what you see? And once she did, she took off. Mm-hmm. She took off.
Yeah. I really enjoy where they were with each other by the end of the series. I felt like that was very fitting.
A different level of appreciation and healing. Because I think especially between the brothers, they've always butted heads and they resented what the other person could offer versus seeing that, you know what, it's helping the family.
Right.
You know what, you, Randall, being detailed oriented, okay, it allows you to take strategic steps to figure out, do the research and say, okay, this is what I believe is the best decision. With Kevin, very passionate. Feels deeply, having that emotional intelligence and being able, I mean, he needs to slow down with decision making, but he can, you know, bring in that perspective as well into the conversation. So I like the fact that they were able to become the big three. Man, when they did that final big three, Jesus.
Somebody shared a video of like the first time they did it as the little kids and then the last time they did it, and I was no more good.
Jack Joe, when he taught them, and I was just like, you know what?
So cute.
Dan, you coming for everybody.
So I am very curious to see what Dan will do next. I already know the writer's room is going to be incredible. So I think Kay, I forget her last name, I'll have to add that in, already has a show that I think she's working on about the therapist in Philadelphia, right? Isn't she working on a show around that?
Yes. And I can't wait to see that. And if she needs a therapist to consult with, she already knows. She wrote, what you call it?
She wrote the Louisiana episode. Yes, the mother's episode.
I'm telling you, when I saw that episode.
Yeah. She's a star. Clearly.
Oyegun.
Okay.
I knew. So yeah. I'll be watching that show too.
Yes. So we will definitely be paying attention to what all the writers from people do from this point moving forward, because we already know it's going to be great. So any final thoughts or any kind of things that we missed that you definitely want to make sure we chat about as we say goodbye to This Is Us?
This Is Us is one of the greatest shows of all time. It is amazing. Gold standard. If you have not watched it, you need to watch it. And I stand by it 10 toes down. Oh, yeah.
And also, I feel like I didn't know this, but I've been seeing chatter online around them not having won any awards for the show. Is it just for writing? I don't think Mandy Moore has gotten any acting awards, but she definitely needs some from this season for sure.
She needs her she deserves the Emmy. And no, we did a Twitter space with Gia Peppers and Jameer Ponder. And James Porta, he is the military consultant for This Is Us. So like, you know, when Jack went to the military and all of that, he said that the writers have never won an award for their writing.
How is that possible?
It is beyond me. If it is not a clean sweep, next award season, then you already know somebody fixed it.
The writing especially this season has been just impeccable. I feel like every season, but definitely this season. I mean, the train episode alone, I feel like it's better than most of the stuff that we have seen on TV. So I fully expect that they get their
have to forecast the train episode and possibly Miguel.
I agree.
But I think that train episode will be nominated.
Yeah.
Will, I think so too. It should win. It should. God dog it. She put both feet in that episode. She said she threw up when she read the script, and I see why.
Right. I can only imagine.
The way I was crying.
Right. We just watch it. We not even acting on it.
I hope they don't get picketed. They mess around and don't get that girl that Emmy.
So Woo. Let this be a warning. Let this be a warning, Emmy people.
Sorry to them people. If they don't all do the award.
Right. Thing. Right.
Do the right thing.
Well, thank you for joining us again, Beverly. It's always such a pleasure chatting about our favorite episodes. Remind us where we can find you online.
Beverly Andre _ Beverly with an L-E-Y. I had to add that to my Twitter profile because they're still spelling my name wrong. So, giggles, but true. Beverly with an L-E-Y. Oh, yeah.
And your website.
Oh, www.beverlyandre.com and beheartcounseling.com. If you need some therapy, if you're a black and brown woman or a couple, come at your girl. I'm ready for you.
And we will be sure to include all of that in the show notes. Thank you again, Beverly.
Thank you.
I'm so glad Beverly was able to join me again this week. To learn more about her and her work, be sure to visit the show notes at therapyforblackgirls.com/thisisus. And be sure to text two of your girls and ask them to check out the episode right now. If you're looking for a therapist in your area, be sure to check out our therapist directory at therapyforblackgirls.com/directory.
And if you want to continue digging into this topic or just be in community with other sisters, come on over and join us in the Sister Circle. It's our cozy corner of the internet designed just for Black women. You can join us at community.therapyforblackgirls.com. This episode was produced by Frida Lucas and Elise Ellis, and editing was done by Dennison Bradford. Thank y'all so much for joining me again this week. I look forward to continuing this conversation with you all real soon. Take good care. Nowadays, a lot of these big companies pretend to care about our communities and issues with nothing more than lip service. State Farm is the opposite. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help educate in financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something they care deeply about. They want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't mean authenticity, that it takes a good neighbor to sponsor programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, and to fund programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth that to date participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
The 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, is finally here.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
They're looking to get a guy that they believe can change the game.
With NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Presented by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.